First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 22, 2019, Matthew Chapter 2, The Once Wise Man.
Please stand. Readings from Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." You see.
Thank you very much. So as I've said, this is a Christmas message reading, and you can see it's sourced from Matthew chapter 2, not Luke 2, but Matthew 2. And it was written by Joel Sutton. So let me read this for you. A wise man, a man of knowledge, an advisor to kings. These were once words used to describe me. Of course, I had not actively pursued such distinction. These titles were given to me. It was not because of my own achievement or accomplishment. Instead, my father had great influence, and he made sure that his son, me, would be a person of distinction. In my youth, I reveled in my prestige. I was assigned great mentors and teachers who taught me about many things. However, my passion became the study of the heavens, the stars. I threw myself into the pursuit of knowledge, and there I found an important principle that has governed my life since. The principle does not emphasize the answers, but the question you ask will determine the knowledge you acquire. For example, if I was to ask, "Where did this rock come from?" that would determine my pursuit for knowledge and a great deal my destiny. It would later prove to my great advantage to have chosen the pursuit of the heavens. Have you ever studied the stars? I mean, really studied them? You can get lost in them. The sky seems endless, and the stars are incredible. I wonder how they got there. And what do they mean? The popular belief is that, well, they're past great kings, former world leaders. Don't you remember the story about when Julius Caesar died, how a new star suddenly appeared in the sky? I'm not sure, though, that that is what those stars mean. Growing up, I pursued the knowledge of the heavens and studied and observed them with obsession. However, my many teachers and mentors realized that as an advisor to princes and future rulers, I had to have a broad base of knowledge. So I was instructed in the history of civilizations. It was during this early study that I learned to read Hebrew and the history of the Jewish people. And during that study, many questions began to enter my mind. Of course, as learned men, we believe that knowledge would be our salvation. Once we learned all there was, we would be able to solve the problems of civilization, and by giving the correct sacrifice to the various gods, we would, of course, be treated well in the afterlife. However, the disturbing revelation which I found in my study of the Hebrew people is that they thought very differently. They believed in a Messiah. I had never been confronted with such a thought. They believed that someone would be sent from God to save them, that he would become their king. Didn't their prophet Isaiah something like that? "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom." After I read such words, doubt began to brew in my mind. Questions began to form. Questions which I could not utter to anyone. Questions which no one I knew had the answer. Questions such as, do people need a redeemer? Are people really that bad? Do people need a savior? If so, who would be that redeemer? It must be someone more powerful and perfect than I. Then the questions became personal. Do I need a redeemer? Do these religious rituals that we practice to pagan gods really do anything? What do I really believe about the heavens that I study so diligently? A star will come out of Jacob. This, too, I found out of the Hebrew writings. It was always interesting to me that the Hebrews' God would announce the birth of his Messiah through the appearance of a star. Yet the Hebrew culture looked down with disdain on the practice of astrology. This too I found strange. Didn't everybody believe in the wisdom of the stars? I mean, who would know of this Messiah's birth if no one studied the stars? But I studied the stars, and I began looking not for just any star, but for his star. The star first appeared almost the size of another heaven. I know for the untrained eye, they probably would have missed it, but to me, that star was brighter and bigger than any star I had ever seen. Historians have since written concerning the astronomical events of that year of the star. Some think that Jupiter came into conjunction with Regulus, the star of kingships, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. Leo was the constellation of kings. As you can see, I think about such events. Okay, I need to slow down. What's a conjunction? A conjunction is a coming together, a union as if it were of two celestial bodies. And there was this conjunction between Jupiter and Regulus. It was though these two planets became one, and it was repeated more times that year. Listen, as a first-hand observer, I can assure you that the sight of these magnificent bodies of light coming together in the heavens was glorious, brilliant, once-in-a-lifetime kind of event. I hear that many of you got all excited about a solar eclipse. Can I tell you that a solar eclipse is nothing? Zero. Almost like an everyday occurrence compared to this coming together. Of course, I began asking questions. How did this conjunction form? How large was it? Why did it happen? And I wondered about the Hebrew God, whom they claimed was the great creator over everything, land, sea, skies, animals, you and me, the stars. Did he do this? And then I knew the answer. I knew what this star was and what it was announcing. I knew the Hebrew king had been born, and I knew I needed to journey to find this king. And of course, I knew it would not be a quick journey, and I wanted to be prepared. Others had seen this star and wanted to go with me. Their knowledge of astronomy and other events were limited, like my own, but I did not refuse anyone who wanted to join our journey to follow the star, for I understood that they, like me, also were searching. The larger question was not who would go, but rather what gifts we would bring this Hebrew king. Whatever gifts we decided on, they had to be significant. They had to demonstrate the worthiness of the one to whom they were given. Of course, we had to bring gold, for gold was a symbol of royalty. It's the metal of kings. It was decided we would bring gold. It was then decided we would bring incense, for it was used in worship. We knew that Hebrew people were religious people and would use incense in their worship. It was decided we would bring incense. The final gift was more difficult. I did not know what the life of this king would be, but as I remembered the words of the Hebrew prophet Isaiah that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, it occurred to me that the final gift should be myrrh. Myrrh was used in embalming processes as a spice to prepare the dead for burial. And even though I could not see into the future, I knew that death would have come to this new little king. Out of respect for things I did not know or understand, we decided to bring myrrh. As the journey began, the star appeared. We could no longer physically see that great light, but we knew it was still there. But it wasn't as if we did not have any ideas as to where this would be going. We were headed for Judah, specifically for Jerusalem. Another Hebrew prophet named Micah had said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will be ruler of Israel." We knew that the king, Herod, would surely know of this birth, and he would know where this Bethlehem was, where this king had been born. Our journey took many months, and it gave me time to think about what I was doing and what I was hoping to find. At moments, to be honest, I felt foolish, sure I was traveling all over the world to find a king whose birth was signified by a star, which now I couldn't see. It sounded rather absurd. However, deep in my soul, I knew it was not absurd to go in search of answers. Some questions are merely for the purpose of discourse. These questions have no answers. But other questions need to be answered. A person needs to know if they are outside the reach of God. A person needs to know if God knows their name. A person needs to know if they are redeemed by God's grace. A person needs to know in whom to place their faith. As we entered Jerusalem, I was astonished that there were no significant signs of people celebrating the birth of this new king. Jerusalem seemed just like so many other cities that we'd passed through on our journey, busy with their own things, caught up in the pursuits of life. Had they not seen the star? Did they not know the words of their own prophets? Perhaps I was expecting too much. Because we were such a large group, the word of our arrival quickly spread. And before we could find lodging for the night, we were summoned to a meeting with King Herod. As a magi, you meet many people that are filled with esteem and power. Some hold their power with an open hand, almost as if a bird sat in their palm. These men do not use this power unwisely, for they understand the delicate balance. And once they clench their fist, they kill the bird. However, there are other men who hold their power like a serpent they're trying to control without being bitten. These men do not understand grace, and they abuse their power in an effort to keep it. King Herod was such a man. For the first meeting, I distrusted him. He was fearful of losing the power he held so dear. And I knew this would soon not be a safe place for the new king. Herod asked us what we had sought. I told him, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Having been in the presence of many kings and princes, I could read his face, his eyes. I could see him seething with anger as he contemplated turning his kingdom over to another. It seemed as though my question caught him by surprise as he called together his advisors. I kind of laugh now as I think about it. How ironic. Here he was, the king of the Jewish people, yet he had no idea what the Hebrew scriptures said about where this Messiah would be born. And here we were, Gentiles from the east. And we knew what he did not. The king was to be born in Bethlehem. To our great joy, we found that Bethlehem was only a short trek away. We were ecstatic to be so close to the end of our journey. We assured Herod that we would return to let him know what we found, and we left. I could not think about sleeping that night, even though I was greatly fatigued from the journey. We were so close, and we continued our journey. I looked at the sky, as is my habit, and I was overjoyed to see the star. It had come to take us to the new king. We followed it to Bethlehem, to the very place where the child was. And it seemed to me as though the star hovered over that place, as if it were keeping vigil. On entering the home, I saw the boy with his mother. And it was in that moment I realized that my journey had truly come to an end. It was though I was looking at the face of the true king. Again, you must understand, I've been around my share of royalty. I've seen them dressed in fancy clothes, wearing all sorts of fancy crowns, sitting on fancy thrones. But here in this modest home, dressed in simple clothes, surrounded by nothing but his parents, there was something about this young child that was different. His royalty was not announced with the trappings of wealth, but rather by a single star that could only have been placed by the Creator, God. This child was heir to a kingdom like none I had ever known. We quickly brought all the gifts which we had so carefully chosen. After presenting all we had carried, I looked around at those gifts, and somehow they seemed out of place. Of course they were valuable, more valuable than any furnishing which the little home contained. However, I had come this great distance and had searched the heavens all my life, not just to come and give gifts, which were easily purchased. No, I quickly realized that I had come and searched to give myself to this king. I went to the child and fell down before him and gave him everything I was, for my journey had brought me face to face with my Redeemer. From that day on, I did not question my faith, for I had seen who I had put my faith in. My faith was put in a God who had miraculously guided my steps to this child and who would grow up and be a great king. We didn't stay long. We left, not returning to Jerusalem that night, but excited that our journey had ended so well, that we had found the one we had been searching for. Once again, God revealed himself to me in a dream. I was warned not to return to Herod. So the next morning, we left Judea by another route, quickly before Herod found out. Of course, Herod became known for his notorious anger and the killing of many young children. I've heard it, and since my return, I'd heard that the gifts we brought the king saved his life. They made it financially possible for the child's parents to escape the wrath of Herod and go to Egypt. But I know the truth. The God that had ordained the birth of this child and would not allow the anger of a jealous king would not allow him to destroy his plan. As I reflect on my journey to Bethlehem, I have spent much time thinking what this child king might have led here on earth. This child king would never wear a crown which was placed there by men, yet he could summon the jewels in the sky whenever he wanted. This child would not sit on an earthly throne which could be destroyed by invaders. No, this child's throne would be in the heavens where men could not destroy. This child's kingdom would not have the boundaries of countries or would not be divided by language or race, just as the heavens are over all men, so that all would be in the kingdom with this child. This child has unlimited power over the heavens and earth, yet it is in the restraint of this power that brought him to a modest home in Bethlehem. As a member of the Magi, a wise man, I know with absolute certainty that this child was sent from God. God has revealed much to me through my journey. Through a star, a magnificent star, he showed me his power. And through a small, vulnerable baby named Jesus, he showed me his love. Since my journey as a Magi, I have bent my knee to many kings. But in my heart, I have only knelt before one. May God bless you on Christmas. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your lunch. Enjoy people. Do something that shows you give thanks. Do something that shows you honor and love God and other people. Help us, we pray, our Father, to love you. Thanks for what you've done for us. Help us to share the joy that's Christ. Help us to make sure we have the treasure of this joy in our own hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.